When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Hey, hey, what's going on? You are listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree. I am the host of the show as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Brown Girl Self-Care is a platform and space of intentional healing, joy, rest, and abundance for Black women. Record scratch. Yes, this episode is going live on a Friday because it's not a regular Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast episode. This is F the Cubicle Friday. This is F the Cubicle Friday. And you know what that F stands for, right? Even though I am spelling it E-F-F, we all know what the F stands for, right? And hold up, speaking of F the Cubicle, real quick, if you have been thinking about launching a podcast or you've already started, but you are feeling stuck, girl, I am offering one-on-one coaching just for Black women who want support, clarity, and a real strategy that makes sense. If that's you and you're ready to invest in yourself, you're ready to invest in your vision and see it come to life and work with me one-on-one, you can find the booking link in the show notes and on Instagram in my link tree at Brown Girl Self Care. So let's go ahead and just get into it. I have so much that I want to say, but I'm trying to organize my thoughts here really quickly. So I mentioned several times that I was going through kind of like this rebirth, rebranding of the Brown Girl Self-Care podcast, the Brown Girl Self-Care brand, et cetera. And part of that was I know that I want to talk more about like being an entrepreneur, ditching the 9-to-5 life, what that entails, creativity, content, wins, fails, loss, success, how to walk in your purpose with less hustle, and for me, in part, less capitalism, which obviously is very related to stuff that we already discussed on the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast, and just like building a business, how to be, like, for example, a content creator, which is huge, and I don't see that going away anytime soon, which is kind of like a, I don't know, since I got beef, I got personal beef with social media, so it's kind of like a thorn in my side sometimes, but yeah, it's not going away. And I have been able to sustain myself barely, let's be clear, sustain myself with creating content and with using my voice and with doing this podcast. And so I want to talk about why I have decided to do this thing called F the Cubicle Fridays and how that got started. So let's go ahead and get into it. F the Cubicle has a special place in my heart for several reasons. But, you know, I started F the Cubicle actually, like F the Cubicle is actually a thing. It's just not a thing that I have touched in at least 5 years, 5-6 years, somewhere in there. So F the Cubicle started maybe like 8 9 years ago, I would imagine. So I've been podcasting for probably almost a decade in one capacity or another. And I honestly was just tired of giving my life away. I felt like I was throwing my life away, but giving away my life, laboring for barely any money, coming home exhausted, still being in like survival mode because I didn't have time to address my trauma. I didn't have time to figure the whole money thing out. I was just running on autopilot. And I feel like working a 9-to-5 in a corporate type environment at a desk behind a cubicle really robbed me of my essence. It really robbed me of some of my really good years. That's just how I feel. And so, you know, F the Cubicle was born out of all of that. F the Cubicle was born out of the desire to do my own thing and bet on myself. Because if I was already going to be like in struggle mode and all that, I might as well just be in struggle mode trying to do my own thing. Let's be real. And so I just got the bright idea to start that podcast. And I did start the podcast, and I was still working a 9-to-5, and I was so scared that my employer, because I worked for, my last job was for a very huge Fortune 500, maybe at one point Fortune 100, possibly, I'm not sure, never looked into it, but definitely a Fortune 500 company. And I was scared that they were going to find my blog, find my podcast, because I was like, we was going deep, me and my guests. And I always had that fear that they were going to find out and fire me, because I was still rooted in the belief that this job held the cards to my life. This job held the keys to whether in this game of life I win or I gotta tap out. You know what I'm saying? And so I was making these moves under this blanket of darkness, trying to really, that was when I really started to tap into my voice. I think during the time when I started F the Cubicle, either a little bit before or a little bit after, is when I ended up going through depression for another time in my life. So there was just a lot going on. And that's basically what it was. So F the Cubicle Fridays, as it pertains to, you know, right now on the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast, I was, again, thinking like, I want to talk about all these things. And you know how they say, and I've said this many times too, like when you find your niche, stick to your niche. Don't be like on Mondays talking about tacos, on Tuesday talking about how to crochet blankets, on Wednesdays talk about door dashing for side hustle, and on Fridays talk about a TV series like The Bachelor, if that's still on. I think it is. Like, in other words, don't just be leapfrogging from thing to thing to thing, because what you want to do is establish yourself as like a thought leader or someone who has a very serious, not very serious, but your brand is just in alignment with a core theme, you know, so that you can be known for that. Like, you can become a go-to in a sea of go-tos. You can become a go-to on that particular subject or that particular experience or that particular niche. You know what I mean? And again, I've said that many times as well, because I always knew that I was someone who I was starting things left and right, because I really didn't know what I wanted to lock in on. And in part, it was because I didn't really know myself. If we can be real, I didn't know myself. I didn't know what my values really were. I didn't know what I stood for. I didn't know what I cared about or gave enough shits about to take it all the way or take it long-term more than just a few weeks or a few months. And there's nothing wrong with dibble dabbling as far as like trying to figure out what do I want to do? What do I want to talk about? What can I champion? What do I like to do? What do I feel my gifts and talents are? Like, there's nothing wrong with trying your hand at different things. But in my case, and I know for a lot of you that listen, because I've talked to several of you, a lot of you that are listening, you know what I'm talking about because you too have just kind of like, I don't want to say mindlessly, like there's absolutely no thought because there is thought put into it a lot of times, but you just, it's like, you know, you're just like, oh, squirrel, the next shiny thing is like you're on to the next thing. And sometimes you've barely even given that first thing or that 17th thing that you are trying your hand out. You haven't even given that thing a shot, like a full shot. And that was one of the mistakes that I made. I, again, not knowing myself, hold on one second. I'm sitting on the floor here because I don't have a desk yet, but not knowing myself, not really knowing who I was at my core. And again, what I wanted to align myself with, I never really gave a lot of the things that I had as a bright idea. I never really gave them a shot. And so I had all kinds of ideas to start a bath and body company, t-shirt brand, jewelry, like getting jewelry from China and wholesaling it under this beachy theme when I'm not even like a beach chick like that. And it's just all these ideas, like if I could literally probably fill a paper with all the ideas that I had. And going back more than a decade, maybe at least a couple of decades, from becoming a writer to starting a wedding planning business, like all these different things. But the thing is, your past gives you clues, doesn't necessarily give you the exact blueprint to success. But I will say that your past efforts or your past ideas or things that you've taken action on, they do give you clues. So even though I was start and stop, like dibble dabbling, like the dibbler of the dabbler, like that was me. Looking back and all those things that I tried my hand at, even if it was just for like a couple of weeks, okay, because literally it was just a couple of weeks, that was confirmation to me that I knew that I was not meant to work a 9-to-5. I am not built for the 9-to-5 life. I am just not built to sit in an office all day staring at the walls in that yellow ass fluorescent light where you can't even grow a plant, okay? Even plants die in the office. But just sitting there, looking out the window, staring at the wall, staring at a computer all day, on the phone, talking to customers who sometimes were very delightful, actually. I could have some of the best conversations with customers. And dealing with people that you sit next to in an office that you don't even like half the time because there's just so many different personalities. And just like there were people that I didn't like, there were certainly people there that could not stand me for a variety of reasons because your girl is not a saint. Okay. Your girl is not a saint. But, I just knew at my core, real talk, that I was not put here for that. Not that I'm too good to work a 9-to-5 or I'm too good to work a job because I did. But I knew that ultimately that was not the only thing or like the main thing that I was called to do. You follow what I'm saying? And I know that some of you are nodding your head. Yes, because you too feel that sense of knowing in your spirit, like that calling, that saying that you're built for more, you're built for something different, you're built to lead, you're built to live a different lifestyle, you're built to step out in a direction that people will look at you sideways and say, this girl's crazy. Where is this coming from? Okay, like, why does she think that she can do this? You know in your spirit that there's something else that you were called to do. For those of you that have that calling in your spirit, like you know that there is something more that you were meant to do. And I feel like actually a lot of us, even if you don't feel that nudge in your spirit, I feel like a lot of us were built for more. And we need all kinds of people in this thing called life. Some people do need to work 9-to-5s or are built to do that. They have that type of stability or that type of mindset where working in an office in a routine and you know, whatever, advancing in the corporate ladder and all that stuff, they are built for that. They excel at that. They are great with that. They're great at that. But everyone's not built that way. And the thing that sucks about, you know, society or America, because I'm in the United States, and I can only speak to, you know, what I have experienced here in the United States. But the thing that really sucks is that with the advancement of technology or just the different ages, like the Stone Age and the what's the other age? I'm forgetting already. But this country, this system has prioritized basically making people just become laborers. This country is built on people just becoming laborers. So it's like a natural thing that you just fall into some kind of labor without much thought, especially if you didn't take the path of going to college, getting a degree, getting an expertise in like being a doctor, a lawyer, you know, things like that, which also is labor, obviously. But as far as like that 9-to-5 employee, that person that goes into the office every day, like, I feel like so many of us that were in that situation or are in that situation, there's a reason why they call the cubicle the place where your dreams die. Go to die. Cubicle is the place where your dreams go to die. I feel like there's a reason they say that. It's because they push for us to be in these positions. They push for us to fill these positions. And when we do, it's kind of like we lose ourselves. We lose ourselves. And then on top of that, as a Black woman, okay, not only are we kind of losing ourselves, a lot of us in those positions, but then on top of that, we have to deal with all the other BS that comes along with it, like the racism, the microaggressions, the not feeling safe, you know, in your own skin, not being able to fully embody what it means to be a Black woman when you are working a 9-to-5, making less money than we deserve, okay? Like all of these little things. And it's just like, why am I in my spirit fighting myself to stay in a position or stay in a role that really is not conducive to me living the type of life that I want, as well as having the type of mental and physical and spiritual health and emotional health, hell, all the health that I am entitled to and that I deserve and that I am worthy of. Like I literally, my spirit would shrivel up and die every time I drove into that office, literally every time. And on the worst, when it started to get worse towards the end, it was just like, I would sit in my car and I would clock in. And this is just what I would do. I would clock in. I would go to my desk. I would do some work. And on my break, what was supposed to be a 15-minute break where I would go outside and maybe in that time could walk like half a mile to a mile, just going around and around the parking lot because I had to get air. I had to get out of there. I had to move my body. But that 15-minute break started to get pushed to 20 minutes. And that 20 minutes started getting pushed to 25 minutes. And that 25-minute break started getting pushed to like 45 minutes. Like I hated it. I hated it with a passion. And then add to that, they were playing with my money. They were playing with my money. And that's why I started to not even care about coming back from the breaks, because they were, I don't even want to go into it because it's a thing in my past, but they were playing with my money. And there were other things going in the office, microaggressions and things like that. And I was just like, I would just go outside. And that's that. That's what I would do. I would go outside or take a long lunch, come back, do some more work. And I would just mentally check out. Like I was so mentally checked out from that job. It's not even funny. And I know you might be saying, well, why didn't you just leave? Yes, definitely. Why didn't I just leave? One of the things that was definitely drilled into me was this was a good job. This was a good paying job. And we know how Black folks think about, especially from the boomer generation and whatever, we know what they say and what they think about having that good paying job. So I felt like I was obligated to stay there. I felt like if I had the boldness and the audacity to step away and do anything else, it would automatically mean I was failing. I let go of a good paying job. Something was wrong with me. Nobody, who does that? How dare you kind of like bite the hand that feeds you? How dare you? You know a snack is elite when it causes conversation, right? And let's be real. Wonderful Pistachios? Yeah, they're that snack. Whether it's the crunch, the flavor, or the fact that they just hit every single time, people are always going to have something good to say. And there's a flavor for every vibe, from classic favorites to bold options like sweet chili and salt and pepper. Personally, I'm all about the in-shell roasted and salted because there's just something about cracking them open that just makes snack time even better. Oh, and let's not forget, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Pistachios are known for their protein power, their fiber, and better for you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help keep you feeling fuller longer. So whether you're snacking solo or sharing the love, get snacking and get cracking with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. This episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
After all the struggle that people have endured, like in my family and beyond, or before, like our people endure for so many decades or years or centuries, how dare you get into a good place and then you just squander it? So I was the kind of person who would stay in jobs for years and just be miserable as hell. Miserable as hell, not in the beginning, not really in the middle, but towards a time, maybe sometimes even years, where I was like, okay, I feel like this is pulling my spirit, like it's time to move on. But I just felt like I couldn't do it because it was a good job. I didn't know that there was such a thing as like staying at a place for a year or two and then moving on to the next level. Like that just, I never really knew about leveling up. I think also it was just like this fear within me that said, you know, you got this job, but what if you're not good enough to get the next one? What if you're not smart enough to get the next one? What if they look at you as a Black girl and they're like, you know, the quotas feel like you, there's just like a lot of mental like chatter going on. So there's just a lot going on there. But through it all, I just knew like, regardless if I'm happy or not happy here and whatever, like I just knew that I was not meant to work a 9-to-5. I just wasn't. I was meant to do something else. And so that's all in a nutshell how F the Cubicle came to be. And so the F the Cubicle podcast, I can't recall how many episodes I got into, but I was doing interviews of other Black women in business and learning from them and having conversations with them about how they were making money, their mindsets, kind of like where they were with their self-care. It was just kind of like a mixed bag of business related kind of stuff with self-care mixed in, because I feel like you can't separate those conversations. I feel like they are connected. If you are a Black woman in business, if you're a Black business owner, if you're thinking about being a Black woman in business, you know, or doing a side hustle, whatever the case may be, I feel like there is still an intersection of that along with the self-care part. Okay, because self-care and community care, obviously, self-care is a great form of like self-preservation. We need that. We need that to be able to do anything out there in them streets, regardless of the type of business that you run, or if you want to be a content creator or whatever, that piece is still very relevant. There's no way that I could have done over 300 episodes of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast and however many episodes of F the Cubicle, let's say 40, I don't really honestly remember, but there's no way that I would still be here doing this, something that I love, by the way, but there's no way that I will still be here if I didn't have that self-care component. There's just no way, because it's still labor. It's still labor. It's still time. It's still energy. It's still bandwidth. It's still resources, physical, mental, and financial resources. And all of those things can still lead to burnout. So if I didn't have the side care, the self-care component, there's no way I would have burned out years ago from doing this. Because again, being a podcaster, I don't know if I said this, but being a podcaster is not a walk in the park necessarily all the time. Yes, it is something that I can do where I'm still able to like walk in my purpose, which I feel is like communicating, which, by the way, was my major when I was in college at Northridge for all of a year before I dropped out. I was in RTVF, radio, TV, film, like communication. So even then, at the age of 18 or 19, whatever, I knew that I wanted to do something pertaining to communication in some way. So yeah, I feel like I'm definitely on a path that is part of my destiny. But all that to say, there's no way that I would still be here being able to show up not only for you as a community of Black women who are looking for that same type of, you know what I'm saying? But there's no way I would still be here even for myself, because I would have been burnt out already. Just like I have been burnt out on other jobs pretty much all the time. I didn't know that self-care was a thing back when I was in my 20s and struggling to work and figure out who I was and love myself. And then pregnant, having a kid again in my 20s. I didn't know what self-care was in my 30s and 40s, or I'm in my 40s now, but you know what I mean, in my 30s. It wasn't until actually I started F the Cubicle around that time, which then led me to starting Brown Girl Self-Care. It wasn't until, 8, 9 years ago, or however many years ago, my early 40s, let's just say my early 40s, that I really started to understand and know what it meant to do self-care and what self-care could look like for me. And it has been a very long journey, a very long road to get to where I am, you know, today in all parts of my life. And so, yeah, in a nutshell, that is all, that is what F the Cubicle represents for me. It's a place for me to show up and still be able to talk about self-care, but direct it more toward in a way where it's more so us talking about business stuff and how to grow and how to thrive and how to earn income, something I'm still struggling with. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm gonna give it to you straight. Facts is facts. I'm not here to hide anything. I never want to allow anyone to think that this is a yellow brick road and I have the ruby red slippers. I don't have it like that. You know, a part of self-care for me is being able to say that and also to be accepting of like community care when you, those of you that have done this, buy from me and support my work. When you buy something from a sponsor and you use my code, when you're listening to the podcast, and you hear an ad that piques your interest, when you send me Cash Apps, you know, just randomly out the blue to thank me for something that you read or a podcast episode that you heard, or just to be like, hey girl, go go treat yourself to lunch. Like, that is how I'm able to survive and continue to do this work. So I never want you to think that, you know, I have it all figured out, because I don't. I think that's a great part of this journey of self-care, and just a great part of life in general, is that I can take the pressure off. I don't have to have it all figured out. I get to sit before you and say, this is where I am. This is where I came from. This is where I'm headed. This is what I know right now. And that could change from year to year as I continue to grow and think and learn and reflect and bloom. That is self-care. Just being able to be honest and be vulnerable. Like, that is self-care. And so in any case, you know, I'm excited to bring back F the Cubicle Fridays to talk more about business and what it has been like as a creator over the last, you know, 7, 8, 9 years, and what I have learned and what I can share and how I started this podcast and income and, you know, tips and hacks on how to do different things, and having conversations again with Black women, which I'm really excited for. I don't have any guests just yet, but I'm really excited to be in community, in conversation and community with Black women who are out there doing the damn thing. Not perfectly, not necessarily making all the money, but just willing to share their journey, okay? Willing to share their raw moments, willing to share how they did it, how they made it work, how they had the idea, how they got started, where they are now, you know, that kind of thing. Because I know if you're listening to this and you've made it this far, God bless you, number one. But if you made it this far, I know that that's your vibe, that's your lane, you're serious about it. You know that that 9-to-5 grind is not for you. You're tired of the rat race, which it is a rat race. You're tired of playing the games. You're tired of the microaggressions. You're tired of them playing with your money. You're tired of the foolishness and the shenanigans. You're tired of having to do all this performative bullshit. You're tired of masking every day. You're tired of them asking, how did you get your hair like that? You know, how'd you do that? I thought your hair was this long, but now it's even longer. How was it straight yesterday? And now it's curly, you know, just all of that stuff. And you're tired of just working in a system that continues to gaslight the hell out of Black women. Okay. If any of that applies to you, or you're deciding that you're going to still keep your job for whatever reason, for however long, that's great. Do you, but you're also like, you know, I want to keep this job. It's okay. It works for me. However, I want to do something else. I want to build something else. I want to start something else. I want to have something else on the side that will help me to generate some more income, some more creativity, some more, financial and spiritual peace, so that I can continue to thrive, so I can continue to grow, so I can have an extra stream of income, because there's no way that anyone that looks like me, okay, is thriving on one income in this day and age, unless you just hit the magical, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're making over 6 figures a year. Obviously, you don't have any debt, whatever, like, women that look like me who are who are deserving of much, much more are usually the ones that get looked over for the raises, looked over for the advances, get looked over for, whatever, the bigger and better opportunities, right? And, you know, I was tired of trying to fight for those opportunities and being like only seen as this type of person that can only do this type of thing, who was good enough to take her labor, but wasn't good enough to take seriously for other positions and things like that. So, you know, all that to say, that's why I started F the Cubicle. Okay. Just to talk about that kind of stuff, because I really, just again, I cannot overstress this enough. I am just not about that 9-to-5 life for myself. And like I said, if I'm going to have to struggle mentally, financially, physically, you know, in these systems that thrive no matter what, but they definitely thrive in, you know, 9 to 5 and in corporate environments, I might as well just try to do my own thing, right? Because a struggle is a struggle. I'd rather just try to do my own thing and see what I can make of it. So yeah, the road has been tough. There have been some highs. There have definitely been some lows. And I'm not sure how much I've shared about that. I off the top of my head, I can't recall. I try to be as open as I can be. But there are some things, at least during specific times, I keep close to my chest because I'm just not ready to share that, you know, or maybe I feel like, you know, this is not a part of my story that needs to be turned into content or consumed. So, you know, as a side hustler or a business owner or an entrepreneur or whatever you want to call yourself, content creator, and you have to have that discernment. Like, what of me is meant to be consumed? What of me is meant to be publicly and widely shared, you know? So, yeah. Yeah, here we are. So the schedule is going to be the 2nd and the 4th Friday of every month, to be determined how long that will be. I'm hoping that it has a good run, but I'm really going to see based on you if I keep this going and how long I keep this going. If there's interest in, I'll know because you'll listen to the episodes, you'll send in questions, you'll, when I have like these events, like how I did the podcasting 101 live workshop back in May, I believe it was. I had 50 Black women in the room on Zoom at one time, and they were participating in that workshop. It was free, and I was thankful to do it. So just having that kind of interest, showing up, you know, that will show me that this is something that people want to learn or know more about. They want these resources. They want these kind of conversations. And if the numbers don't show it, if it's not supported, if it kind of just like falls off, then I'll know that I won't do it. I won't offer it. I won't really talk about it. You know what I mean? So it really just depends on how F the Cubicle Fridays is received over time. So we'll see. And I know that summer is basically here. And typically when it comes to podcasting, just so you know, if you join me on that workshop or you're a newer podcaster or whatever, typically you'll see the numbers decline during the summertime because people are going on vacation. They're not going into the office as much. You know, kids are out of school. So maybe the dad or the mom, well, in our case, the moms, I don't think too many men listen to this podcast. So the moms don't necessarily have to always drive them somewhere in the mornings or on a regular basis if they're not going to school, but staying home, for example, or they've gone to Big Mama and Big Daddy's house for the summer. You know what I mean? So you'll see the numbers start to decline because people are out there in the sun, they're on vacation, they're living their lives or at the pool, they're having parties, barbecues, and all that jazz, which is a beautiful thing. So don't be surprised if you see your numbers start to go like womp, 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 because they will naturally come up again. It ebbs and it flows. So don't be discouraged if you've already started to notice that, because I have, and I see it literally like every year. So it's okay. You'll be all right, new podcaster, okay? All right. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. Let me know if there's something that you would like to hear discussed on After Cubicle Fridays. You can send me an email at the same place, which is connect@browngirlselfcare.com. Again, connect, C-O-N-N-E-C-T, at browngirlselfcare.com. Okay? Okay. So we're going to see how it goes, boo. All right. So that's it for this first episode of, I guess, F the Cubicle Friday on the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. I'm really trying not to make this too complicated, I swear, but it was either do this or restart a whole new brand. And I'm really trying to do things with ease. That's another thing. I believe in ease for Black women. I believe in everything doesn't have to be a struggle and a fight. We've already had enough of that in our lives and in our lineage. Like our ancestry, I just didn't want to overcomplicate things for me. And I figured that it was okay to do this. And so sometimes you just got to give yourself permission to try something and see how it goes. All right. Don't be too embarrassed. Don't think that if people see you failing publicly, who cares? Who cares? I'm saying that for myself too. Like, who cares if people judge you for the things that you're doing? Right. It's really up to you to care more about getting that thing out there than caring about what people have to say about you. People will always have something to say, especially people that are not doing anything. They're not growing. They're not trying. They're not learning. They're not helping. They're not building. So people will always have something to say, all right? And so as an entrepreneur, we have to be okay with having a thicker skin. And that's personally something that I am working on myself. I really, really am. So don't allow people to get to you. All right. So now I have done and said everything that I want to say, at least for this episode of the F the Cubicle Friday podcast. But yeah, send your questions, your comments at connect@browngirlselfcare.com. Again, connect@browngirlselfcare.com. And yeah, I will see you not next Friday, but on the last Friday of this month with another episode. All right. Take care.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.